Christians face a lot of battles in their lives, don't they? One of the battles that we face are the numerous temptations brought upon us by Satan himself. Another battle that we face are with the enemies of God's people. And my friends, they too are numerous upon the earth. And every Christian also fights what I refer to as demons. Not literal demons, but figurative demons within them. Tonight, we're going to be looking at one of those internal struggles, internal battles that we face. Before I tell you what the topic is, I want to define it for you and see if you can guess what we're going to be studying tonight. The definition of this internal battle is the following. The feelings one gets when others fail to live up to expectations, hopes, desires, and standards. Another definition of the word is this. The feelings one has when his plans and his dreams are not fulfilled or they are in some way thwarted or derailed. Folks, the demon that we're talking about, that many of us oftentimes have to struggle with, is disappointment. The title of our lesson very simply is Dealing with Disappointment. We're going to be looking at 3 points in this lesson tonight. And the last point is going to be the one that I believe is the most important. But let's begin by talking about some of the causes of disappointment. We could spend a lot of time right here on this one area, couldn't we? Because disappointments come in all shape, forms, and fashions, and they are extremely numerous. But let's just talk about 3 causes of disappointment. First, others. Oftentimes, other individuals cause us a lot of disappointment, don't they? We might ask the question, how? How do others disappoint us? Well, in many ways. Sometimes individuals are not reliable. We ask them to do certain things. We give them certain obligations and certain duties and certain responsibilities, and yet they fail to fulfill those obligations. And we learn very quickly that they are just not reliable. And when it happens 2, 3, 4 times, we're quite disappointed, aren't we? Another way that others disappoint us is in not fulfilling their potential. You and I look at other individuals and we see their talents, we see their abilities, we know what they're capable of, and yet that individual refuses to stretch himself. That individual fails to apply himself, and because of that, we are extremely disappointed. Sometimes others violate our trust, don't they? We put our confidence in them. We tell them things that we think need to be confidential, and then all of a sudden, we find out that this individual has taken that information and has spread that information to someone else, and they have violated our trust, and we are extremely disappointed. There are many examples of individuals who were disappointed in others in Scripture, and I just use this one. Luke 22, verse 61. Peter has said that he would never, ever be offended in the Lord, that he would always be steadfast, that he would never deny the Lord, and now he has denied him 3 times. Luke 22, 61a says this, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter." Do you think our Lord was disappointed in his servant? He's warned him, "Peter, you're going to deny me." He's told him, "I've even gone to God in prayer on your behalf." And yet, even with all the warnings, he still denies him 3 times, and the Lord turned and looks upon Peter. Wouldn't you hate to have felt the stare of Jesus on that particular occasion? Disappointed servant. Secondly, unfulfilled goals bring disappointment. One of the things that we like to do is set goals for ourselves, don't we? And we like to strive to meet those goals, and when we do meet those goals, we are joyful and we are happy. And in fact, we even like to tell others, this is the goal that I set for myself, and I've reached the goal, I've exceeded the goal, and you're just jubilant because of that fulfillment. But folks, when we do not succeed, when our dreams and our goals, whatever they might be, do not come to pass, we are extremely disappointed. Question. Did God have dreams and goals for the children of Israel? He did, didn't he? And he expressed those goals and he expressed those desires to Israel and even told them that I will help you to accomplish these things. Question, was God ever disappointed in Israel? The answer to that question is yes. Moses speaking to the children of Israel about all they've gone through in their history as they're standing there on the banks of the Jordan River, almost ready to go into the promised land, makes mention of some of the failures and God's response to those failures. And in Deuteronomy 9, beginning at verse 13, the Bible says this, furthermore, the Lord said unto me, I know this people, that they are a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name under heaven. And I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they. Folks, now that is disappointment, isn't it? I chose you, I selected you, I've led you in the wilderness. And what have you done? All you've done is rebelled against me, even to the point that I want to destroy you. That is disappointment. Unfulfilled goals and purposes that God had for Israel. A matter of disappointment. Here's another. Unfulfilled self-potential. Very seldom do we come across an individual who does not really believe in his talents and his abilities. We know that God has given us certain skills and certain things that we can do, and we believe that if we apply ourselves a little bit, that guess what? We're going to be able to do and accomplish many things because of what we know we can do. And yet, sometimes, we just don't succeed, do we? We think we can. We even try and we attempt to do certain things, and yet what happens? We don't succeed. And when that transpires, disappointment sets in. I've got two illustrations of them. One of them is me. That's who that victor is up there. My mother never learned how to swim, and she was always scared of water. And so when she had three children, she says, one of the things that I want to make certain they do is learn how to swim. When we got old enough, she put us all in the YMCA. And every week we had two different classes that we went to. And you began as a minnow. That's what you were, a little minnow. That fits me, doesn't it? After a certain period of time on a Saturday, they would have qualifiers. And what you would do is you would qualify for the next level. And you would have to perform certain skills and certain abilities in order to step up. Well, I was a pretty good swimmer and I enjoyed swimming. And I came to the first time that we were to qualify and I just knew I am going to move up two levels in swimming today. Went through the first round, moved up, no longer a minnow. I don't know what I was, a bluegill or something. But I wanted to be a dolphin. So I jumped in the pool for that next level, and I went through, and I was swimming fine, and I was almost done. I was right in the middle of the last lap, and under the water, Victor went. Bloop. Folks, they had to put a rescue pole out to me and pull me over to the side. This was one upset kid. I cried. I just boo-hooed. Didn't even really want to be rescued. Just let me die. I wanted it so bad, and I knew I could do it. I just knew that I could do it. And guess what? Didn't. Had to wait. Stayed a bluegill for a while. We talked about Peter a while ago. And the Bible says in verse 61, remember the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, right? But folks, the rest of that passage in the next verse says this. Then remembered Peter the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And verse 62 says this, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. I wonder why Peter cried, don't you? You think he was disappointed in himself? Here I am, an individual who's made a promise to the Lord. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to offend Him. I don't want to stand against Him. And look at me now. I've gone out and I have offended Him and denied Him three times. And He went out and wept bitterly. Folks, sometimes we do not fulfill our potential. And when that happens, we are deeply disappointed in ourselves. So some of the causes of disappointment. Let's talk now about a few consequences of disappointment. And they are numerous. We're only going to look at three. One of the consequences is this. Deep, deep sorrow, isn't it? You see, disappointment stems from hurt. And folks, hurt brings pain, doesn't it? Remember the rich man who came to Jesus asking Him what he needed to do in order to inherit eternal life? Folks, here's a man who seems to be honest, doesn't he? Seems to be a true seeker after God. And the Lord tells him a few of the commands that he must keep, and he's feeling pretty good about himself. All these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus told him, go and sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and come and follow me, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. What does the Bible say? And when he heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had much possessions. Can you imagine the rich young ruler when he heard that final qualifier to be right with God? Go sell all that you have. Give it to the poor. Come follow me and you'll have treasure. That's all you need to do. And there was disappointment, wasn't there? Folks, those weren't the words that he wanted to hear. That's not the action that he wanted to take. And because of his disappointment, there was deep sorrow, and he left keeping his possessions and yet being separated from the Lord. Disappointment brings sorrow. Notice the next one. Disappointment oftentimes brings broken relationships. Folks, broken trust, a failure to fulfill one's responsibilities, if it doesn't do anything, it's going to strain a relationship, isn't it? And sometimes, if it keeps on over a long period of time, that relationship is not only going to be strained, but it is finally going to be broken. And we have an example of that with Paul and John Mark, don't we? John Mark went with Paul and Barnabas on that first missionary journey. They got to Pamphylia, and John Mark turns back for whatever reason, we don't know. Homesick. He remembers other obligations that he believes are more important. We don't know why. Fear. We're not told the reason why. All we know is that he went back. And when it came time for that second missionary journey, Barnabas wanted to take him. And the Bible says, and Paul thought it not good for him to go with them, because he departed from them at Pamphylia and went not into the work. Folks, did that particular disappointment by Paul bring a broken relationship? Oh, yes. Not only between Paul and John Mark, but also between Paul and Barnabas. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from another. Not just Paul and John Mark, but Paul and Barnabas departed from one another. My friends, disappointment can bring broken relationships. How about this one? Disappointment can also cause us to give up, can it? See, when we do not succeed, when we do not accomplish our goals, when we do not fulfill our potential, we get tired, don't we? Especially if it happens over and over and over and over again, and all of a sudden we begin to think deep inside, what's the use? Why do I need to keep trying? In fact, we'll almost tell ourselves, you know, I think it's best that I just finally give up. Anybody remember a woman by the name of Naomi? A beautiful woman in Scripture. She was married to a man. There was a famine in the land. They had two sons. They left Bethlehem, left the land of Canaan, and entered into the land of Moab. While there, their two sons married. But while there, Naomi also lost her husband and lost those two sons. She finally returns back to Bethlehem after about 10 years in the land of Moab. And when everybody sees her, can you imagine what they're saying? Oh, Naomi! Oh, Naomi! Oh, Naomi! You're back! And Naomi said unto them, call me not Naomi, but call me Mara, for God Almighty hath dwelt bitterly with me. I left full, and the Lord hath brought me back home empty. Why call ye me Naomi? For the Lord hath testified against me. And the Almighty God hath dealt sorely with me. Folks, here was a woman who was ready to give up, wasn't she? I left my home, I left my family, I go to a foreign land, and I return, and guess what? I don't have a husband, I don't have my sons. She's turned one of her daughter-in-laws away, and one stays. For whatever reason, she stays. But my friends, Naomi returned a different woman. Don't even call me by my name. Call me Mara, because the Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. Here's a woman deeply disappointed in life, ready to give up, isn't she? You see, disappointment brings sorrow. Disappointment can break and strain our relationships with other individuals. And disappointment can cause me, if I allow it, to just want to give up and quit. I know numerous preachers who are no longer in the pulpit. You want to know the reason? Disappointment. That's why. Disappointment. Sad, isn't it? But you see, I told you that the third part of this lesson is the most important part of the lesson. And I refer to it as the cure for disappointment. Folks, disappointment, like I said, is what? It's a demon within us, isn't it? And it can work on our minds and the way we think, and it can cause us to do horrible things, and it brings horrible consequences in our lives, and I need to know how to overcome it, don't I? And so for the next few minutes, I want to talk about seven things that you and I can do that we need to remember in order to overcome this thing called disappointment. Number one, we need to remember that one setback does not mean complete failure, folks. We've all heard this little statement, haven't we? If at first you do not succeed, try again. We've heard that all our lives. And that's the point, isn't it? Just because you haven't succeeded now doesn't mean that this is total, complete failure. Keep on trying. Keep pressing forward. Folks, aren't you glad that Peter didn't give up? You see, Peter opened the door of the church to the Jews in Acts 2. Peter opened the door of the church to the Gentiles in Acts the 10th chapter. The Apostle Peter wrote 2 different epistles in the New Testament, 8 chapters that are extremely beneficial to us as Christians, especially in times of our suffering and our struggling. And Peter ultimately suffered martyrdom for the cause of Christ, being crucified upside down, tradition says, for his Lord. You see, one failure, even denying the Lord Jesus, doesn't mean total defeat. Here's a second point. Folks, we need to remember God is in control of things. You know that? God's in control. You see, we like to think that we're in control, don't we? And yet sometimes we find out that we're not. And when we're not in complete control of everything, guess what? We grow extremely disappointed, don't we? But folks, even though we're not in control, God is, isn't He? We need to remember that. Sometimes we grow disappointed when it comes to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We do certain things and we put in a lot of time, we put in a lot of effort, we put in a lot of money, and guess what? There's no response. And so what do? We just give it up. That's sad, folks. Sad. But you see, we need to remember God's in control. Paul said, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth what? The increase. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Folks, it's not up to me to give the increase. It's not up to me to cause individuals to be converted. All God expects of me and you is to plant and water, plant and water, plant and water, and never quit. And God will give the increase. See, folks, that's what we want. I find it interesting what we've been talking about on Sunday mornings. Children of Israel were defeated, were they not? And they were defeated horribly. 4,000 in one battle, 30,000 in another battle, the Ark of God taken. But guess what? Even though Israel was defeated, God was still in control, and He proved that in Ashdod, didn't He? The Bible says that the Lord what? Destroyed them, slayed them, and smote them with emrods. You see, God let Israel and God let the Philistines know, I'm still in control. My friends, even when we're defeated, even when something has happened, when we're not successful, we need to remember we still have a God who is sovereign and over all, and He is in control. And that leads to our third point. We have God to assist us. Now think about that. God's in control. God's over all. He has all authority and all power. And guess what? All I have to do is call upon God, do I not? Folks, listen to what the Bible says. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if He hear us, we know that we shall have the petitions that we desire of Him. I failed. I've messed up. I haven't succeeded. What do? Give up. No. Go into your closet and pray to the One who's in control of all. God bless us. God help me to overcome my enemy. God make me strong. God make me diligent. God don't let me give up. Let me press forward. Folks, pray to God. God's in control. And we have access to the throne of God. How about this next one? I've got to remember that people can and, watch this next one, do change. You see, we've got this idea in our minds and it goes like this. People never change. Once a person is the way he is, he will never change. Folks, I pray that we never develop that mentality. You see, over the course of time and the course of our lives, individuals are going to disappoint us. They're going to do bad things. They're going to do harmful things. They're going to do things that break trust. They're going to be unreliable. And in our minds, we're going to develop this idea, you know, he's just like that. He'll stay that way, and he will never, ever change. Thank God he doesn't think like that. Wouldn't it be bad? Well, them people have sinned. They'll never change. I'm just going to let them be sinners. God knows we can change. That's why he commands us to do what? To repent. And what does that mean? Change. God wouldn't authorize us to do something we cannot do. A while ago, we talked about John Mark, didn't we? Oh, Paul says, I think it's not good for him to go with us on this second missionary journey. Can't trust him. He left us. I'm not taking him this time. But folks, when Paul writes his second letter to Timothy, here's something that he says about Mark. Take Mark. And look what he says. Bring him with thee. For he is profitable unto me for the ministry. And here's what I love. Barnabas, who was his uncle, didn't give up on the young man. I think what Barnabas did was took him home. Folks, Barnabas was from the Isle of Crete. After that division between Paul and Barnabas, guess where Barnabas and John Mark went? They went to the Isle of Crete. Barnabas is home. And I believe that it was there that Barnabas invested some time in that young man, trained him, mentored him, showed him some things that he needed to learn, and ultimately, guess what? Even Paul says, that young man is profitable unto me for the ministry. Take him and bring him with thee, Timothy. Folks, people can change. And we need to remember that. Point number five, there's always another day. You see, failure only means today. Failure only means right now at this very minute. Oh yes, right now I may not be able to do something that I desperately want to do, but that's only, guess what, right now. You see, the reality is this, tomorrow can make all the difference, folks. You know that? What I cannot do today, I very well may be able to do tomorrow. Old Vic wanted to become a dolphin. That bluegill ain't worth a flip. Guess what? I got to the top ladder in swimming at the YMCA. You see, that one day that I wanted to drown in the pool, folks, that wasn't the end. There was another day. Now, that's what my parents said, too, when they pulled me out of the water, because they was kind of laughing. Boy, quit that crying. There'll be another day. You don't believe that at the time, but the reality is there's another day. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep trying. And guess what? If you'll be persistent, if you'll put in the time and the effort and the labor, guess what? One of these days, you can be successful. Today doesn't determine tomorrow unless I let it. I can be successful. Watch this next one. Failure often makes us more determined, stronger, and more useful for the purposes of God. Folks, think about this. If we succeeded the first time in everything that we did, you would never become more determined and you would never get any stronger. Don't have to, do you? But you see, when I fail, I have to stop and I have to evaluate myself. Why did I fail? Why was I not successful? Why didn't I reach my potential? Whatever it was. And then I've got to invest myself and I've got to stay determined. In fact, I've got to get more determined. This failure is not going to defeat me. I'm not going to stay disappointed forever. I am going to succeed. And I put forth the effort and guess what? I'm stronger and more useful for the cause of Christ. Joseph. You're talking about a man who could have given up. 16, 17 years old. Your brothers hate you. You come out to a field and they want to kill you. Throw you into a pit and you're screaming and hollering and crying. Only because your oldest brother intervenes on your behalf do they not kill you, but they sell you into slavery and you're taken hundreds of miles away from your home not to see your family for over 20 years, but not knowing that. You become a slave in a man's house. Yes, you rise in your position and all of a sudden you're falsely accused of trying to attack his wife, and now you're thrown in prison. You interpret some dreams, but the individuals whose dream you interpret don't remember you for the next 2 years. Disappointment after disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. Folks, Joseph could have just said, what is the use of this? We're talking years of this stuff. You know it? But Joseph never ever gave up. He just got stronger and stronger and stronger. With every obstacle that was put in his way, he just kept moving forward, did he not? Kept trusting God. God's in control here. God has a plan here. Something is going to eventually come out right for me if I'll just keep trusting God. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over the land of Egypt. Wow, folks. Something just happened. I don't call that a disappointment. Do you? The Bible says this, Pharaoh took off his ring and put it on the hand of Joseph. Arrayed him in the vestures of fine linen, put a gold chain around his neck. Placed him in the very second chariot of Pharaoh himself. Pulled that chariot throughout the entirety of Egypt. And individuals were crying out, bow down! Bow down! For Pharaoh set him and made him ruler over the land of Egypt. Folks, Pharaoh's final words to Joseph on this particular occasion was this, I am Pharaoh, and without thee, no man shall lift a hand or a foot in all the land of Egypt. Think about that. You can't even lift up your hand without Joseph telling you to do it. That's a lot of power, isn't it? Did you just lift that spoon to your mouth and I didn't tell you? That's a lot of power, folks. You know it? But you see, it's emphasizing the authority that Jacob or Joseph now has in the land of Egypt. Folks, here is a man who is being trained. Here is a man who is being groomed. Here is a man who is determined. I'm not going to forsake my God. And God lifted him up to a high level in the land of Egypt and ultimately reunited him even with his family, didn't he? Folks, failure only makes me gooder. Here's another point. Others have come back better and stronger from disappointment. I need to remember that. I'm not the first person on the face of the earth to be disappointed. And haven't we seen that with several in this particular lesson? Peter, John Mark, Joseph. I need to keep those examples in my mind. They were highly disappointed. They did terrible things sometimes. They didn't meet their potential. And yet, guess what? All of them came back, and I can too. But there's another that I want to make mention of. Remember that woman Naomi. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Little did she know that pretty little gal who married her son, who wanted to stay with her, was going to be very valuable to her in her life. She meets a man by the name of Boaz, a near kinsman of Naomi. They overcome one obstacle, get that other near kinsman out of the way. Naomi marries Boaz, and they have a child by the name of Obed. Folks, guess what? According to law, Obed is now the grandson of Naomi. Can you imagine? You think she would have ever thought that would have happened? It never even crossed her mind when she came back to Bethlehem. You see, the Lord's dealt harshly with me. The Lord's testified against me. His hand has been upon me sorely. Call me Mara. And yet, He raises her up and grants her a grandson. Folks, not just a grandson. Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king. She is the great, great grandmother of David. Wow. Now, what's even more wonderful than that? I don't know how many greats to put in front of her name. But folks, she is one of the great, 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 whatever it is, grandmothers of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Isn't that wonderful? You see, God can take our disappointments and turn them into marvelous victories if we'll just be patient and wait. Folks, disappointment, it's a difficult enemy. You know that? I've seen ball teams, promising ball teams, lose one game, be so disappointed that they ruin the entirety of their season. You know that? I've seen individuals strive to achieve a goal. Those individuals don't accomplish that goal. They're so disappointed in themselves that they just wreck the entirety of their lives. Folks, don't let that happen to you. We may be disappointed and sad. We may be disappointed and scarred. Folks, we may be disappointed and discouraged. We may be disappointed and we may be hurt severely. But folks, we are not disappointed and defeated ever as Christians. There's a passage that's found in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 and 9, written by Paul, and he says this: "We are troubled on every side, yet not in distress. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Do you hear what Paul says? Out of all the difficulties and all the struggles and all the problems of life, guess what? We are not defeated. You and I can't let our disappointments turn into defeat. We need to let God turn our disappointments into victory. My friends, in order for God to do that, it's best that you're on the Lord's side, isn't it? And the way you do that is through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do what they did in Acts chapter 2. You know, that's all we've told people, isn't it? Here's the first time the gospel's preached. What must we do to be saved? Peter said what? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. These individuals had faith. Now Peter tells them to do what? Repent and be baptized. That's all we ask of individuals to do. Maybe you need to do that tonight. Dear Christian, what about you? Has disappointment brought discouragement? Discouragement brought defeat? Maybe tonight you need to rededicate yourself and trust in a God who's in control and put your life in His hands. Never give up. And my friends, I promise you, God can turn our disappointments into victory. You need to respond to the invitation. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?